That was excellent, guys and girls. Really very enjoyable. Thank you so much. And there's nothing like good music to warm and cheer the heart. And I can only imagine what it's going to be like in heaven and how beautiful it will be up there. And you know, when we were singing, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I kind of like to change that last line. Maybe you've heard it before. Some from every tribe and nation shall be there. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful thought, isn't it? That God is calling out a people unto himself from every tribe and nation under heaven. And what a privileged people we are here. And even as we would all chase our heritage, our background, I'm sure there are many, many cultures and nations that are represented here even tonight. And so we have so much to thank our God for. We've had a good day so far. Thoroughly appreciated the worship meeting and as well the ministry of our brother Keith, and trust that tonight as we again look into the Word of God, our hearts will be refreshed. What time am I to be finished, by the way? 8:15, okay. Of course, you know what it means when a preacher puts his watch down on the desk. Nothing. But it looks good. So when I come to the time, if I'm too long-winded, wave. Tonight we are going to be looking at the name that you see on the board here, and perhaps you all can't see it very well, but it is that great and glorious name, Elohim. It was William Shakespeare who immortalized the question, what's in a name? Solomon, in writing in the book of Ecclesiastes 7:1, said, a good name is better than precious ointment. And again in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1 we read, a good name is better to be chosen than riches. And once more Solomon in Proverbs 10 and verse 7 could say, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked will be lost. And you know, as you and I think of our names, we need to be careful, because we represent a name, don't we? We represent the person of the Lord Jesus. We are those who are bearers of his name. And we want to remember the great and solemn responsibility that is placed upon our shoulders as we bear the name of our God. A famous rabbi wrote, no monument gives such glory as an unsullied name. I think of what Paul could say in Galatians 5. Ye did run well. What does hinder you? You started your course well, but you're not doing too well right now. And that's the sad tragedy, unfortunately, of so many. And so I want to challenge each one of our hearts tonight, and particularly those of you who are young people, that you beware of the snare of the wicked one. He is no match for you or for me, and we need to be constantly on our guard. I think of a mother who had a knock at her door one day, and it was a census taker. And he asked her how many children she had. Well, she said, there's Harry, and there's Billy, and there's Martha, and there's... And he interrupted. He said, I didn't ask you for their names. I just want the number. And she looked at him and said, they haven't got numbers, sir. They all have names. And it's so important, isn't it? Numbers don't mean a thing, but names mean everything. We have what we call in Canada our SIN number, our social insurance number. They don't want to know my name. I get, you know, have to give information. What's your SIN number? I think it's an appropriate name. The SIN number, almost the mark of the beast sort of thing. Alfred Lord Tennyson proclaimed, I cannot love my Lord and not his name. And if you love the Lord Jesus tonight, then you'll love his name. And there are three primary names that we want to look at over the next few days. The first one we have here is Elohim. The next great name that we want to consider is the name Jehovah. And then the third name that we are going to consider is the name Adonai. Now, when we consider this name, God, or Elohim, you'll notice that it can be identified, and some of you may not be able to see that from the back, but in your Bibles, you'll notice that it is a capital G and lowercase G-O-D. That is the Hebrew name, Elohim, and it means the strong, faithful, covenant-keeping God. And that's a wonderful God to know, isn't it? A God who is strong, a God who is faithful, a God who keeps His covenant promises with His people. And I want to say, if you don't know Him tonight, we would urge of you to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Now, the first reference we have to this name in our Bibles is found in Genesis chapter 1. And let's look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the way, that's the first mention of baseball, too. Of course, you realize that in your Bibles. In the big inning. Ooh, bad joke. In the beginning, God, capital G, lowercase, that is Elohim. And we learn that He is the God who created the heavens and the earth. And as you read through this chapter, you will find that 32 times over, this name is mentioned. And those who have given us our Bible in the King James, the New King James, and in some other translations, seek to identify for you and for me the names of our God and their uniqueness by the way they are written in the Scripture. You know, Elohim is distinguished as the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob of Isaac, or the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And as we look at our God, it is in contrast to the false gods. Now, you know, we can look at our Bible and we learn about the Egyptian gods. And you remember in the time when the nation of Israel were in bondage for 430 years, there were their Elohims. It's spelled exactly the same way. And when you notice in your Bible, all lowercase, in reference to false gods, idols, it's the same name, but there's one unique difference. Theirs is a false god. Our God is a faithful, covenant-keeping God. And there's a uniqueness that we find in this. When we look at the names of our God, we find that He is contrasted, as I've mentioned, to the false gods. You remember in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and the serpent appeared to Eve and said, "You shall be as Elohims. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil." Look over, please, to Psalm 135 for a moment. Psalm 135 and verse number 5. "For I know that the Lord is great." Now notice the word Lord, all capital letters. That is Yahweh or Jehovah. And we will look at that tomorrow morning, God willing. "And our Lord," you'll notice it's a capital L, and then in the lower case, that is the word Adonai. And again, we'll look at that name. "Is above all gods," or all Elohims. So the word Elohim, in one sense, is kind of a generic name. Like we would refer to ASA or aspirin. Do you have an aspirin? And you might pull out a different brand name, but it's the same compound. Or you might say, I have some, you know, ASA tablets. Exactly the same thing, the same composition. But there's a unique difference here. Our God is unique. Our God is the living and the true God. Over 2,500 times in our Bible, I am told that this name Elohim is used. Notice again, please, in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 17. For the Lord Jehovah, Deuteronomy 10:17, your Elohim is an Elohim of Elohim, and Lord or Adonai of Adonai, the great Elohim, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality, nor takes a bribe. That gives to us a little bit of a description of the awesomeness and the greatness and the majesty of this name, Elohim. Look again, please, in Isaiah chapter. What happened? Isaiah 9 and 6. We'll just leave it there. Sorry. I don't know why it fell. Isaiah 9 and 6. And this is a familiar verse for with all of us, or many of us here tonight. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and there you have him, the Mighty Elohim, the Everlasting Father, the Father of Eternity, and the Prince of Peace. And that little expression, El, whenever you see it in your Bible, reminds us that he is God, and that he is indeed the Mighty God. It's wonderful to think, too, of another name. We know it so well, the El Shaddai. And that is literally God Almighty, the all-sufficient God. And when we look at this later on, we'll see how great and wonderful he is. But Elohim is a great name, for it is an encouraging name. And boy, do we need encouragement today to know that our Lord is above all lords, and our God is above all gods, and there is nothing impossible for him. For with God, with Elohim, all things are possible. And for your heart and for mine tonight, no matter the situation that we're in, we find that he is the encouraging God. Look just briefly at one little verse in Exodus chapter 34. And this is after Moses had come down from the mount. And there we find they were worshiping the golden calf. Aaron had failed in his responsibility as Moses was there in the mount. And you remember the Lord gives to Moses new tables of stone, and then the Lord speaks to him in verse number 6. Exodus 34 and 6. And the Lord Jehovah passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin and so on. But you'll notice what he describes him as. Our Jehovah Elohim is merciful
and gracious
and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and in truth. You know, it's 35 years ago this month that I left my job as a pharmaceutical representative. And when I spoke to my boss and I told Al that I would be leaving, he was the president of the company, and that I would be going out preaching, and I told him the reason why and how the Lord had spoken to our hearts. And we had a good chat together. And he asked me how I was going to be supported, and I said, well, we're just looking to the Lord to meet our needs. Well, do you have any church supporting you? I have no guarantee of anyone supporting me. No one has said a word to me about money at all. I'm just trusting the Lord. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, Jim, now, he said, if you ever have any financial need, I want you to give me a call and I'll take care of it. And he could have well taken care of my need and your need and perhaps everyone's need here in this room. And I looked at him and I said, Al, when I have any needs, I won't be calling you. I won't even tell my mom or my dad. I'll simply tell my Heavenly Father, the Lord. And for 35 years, our Elohim has been a faithful, gracious, merciful, and encouraging God. Does it mean that we have not had financial problems and difficulties? Does it not mean that our back has never been to the wall? Does it not mean that we haven't shed tears and our hearts have been broken? And things that have happened in our life we can't explain. I mean, I could tell you of one whole year that we virtually cried almost every day of our lives. And you've experienced times like that. But as we look across our lives, we see that Elohim has been faithful. I can remember speaking to the children one time and said, kids, can we borrow some money? We need some breakfast, you know. We need some milk and some cereal and some bread and jam. The larder was empty, an old word for cupboard. The cupboard was virtually barren, and so I borrowed from my children. You know, we prayed together about these needs. And that day, a letter came in the mail, and I forget how much was in it, a check of some amount. And at supper time, when they had come home from school, we showed them the letter and the check. And Elohim, the gracious and encouraging and faithful God, had provided. Do you think that was a lesson for them? And then I paid them back with a little bit of interest as well. And that's not just something that happens to preachers and missionaries, because those of you who are living your normal lives from day to day, you've had experience too when it's been financially very tight and difficult. And you've had to be dependent upon your God. And the promise is, my Elohim shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, isn't that an encouraging God? And aren't you glad you know him this evening? You know, I couldn't help but think of our Elohim in another respect. And in the prophecy of Isaiah, and as we were chatting at supper time with my brethren, and they were sharing a little of their family, and I couldn't help but think of these words. And we read, the Lord could say, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel, that is my people, the Lord is saying, does not know. My people do not consider. They don't understand. And you see, sometimes we feel, where have we gone wrong and where have we failed? Who could have been a better father to his people than God himself, than Elohim? All through the wilderness journey, into the promised land, defeating the enemies. But they hardened their hearts, and they rebelled. But you know, he says, that he is the God
who is able to redeem and restore the years of the locust.
Because our God is an encouraging God. But as well,
Elohim is the mighty creator. The vastness of this universe reminds us that there was one who spoke, and by the word, the worlds came into being. You remember what he could say in Hebrews 11:6? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Elohim. God spoke, and the worlds came into being. Genesis 1:2 we read, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Does Elohim forsake the earth because of its sad condition? Because it was without form and void? Because there was darkness upon the face of the deep? No. He but speaks the word, and the wondrous changes are made. From darkness to light. From a void to a fuller. From no life to complete life. And lastly, Elohim, what does he do? He creates man in his own likeness and in his own image. Man with body, soul, and spirit. Elohim would now have communion and companionship. And he did so as he walked with Adam and Eve and talked with them in the garden. And you know, as we think of our great creator God, our great creator Elohim, and you read through chapter 1, what do we read over and over and over? It was good. It was good. It was so. And finally, he looks over a perfect and complete creation. Man whom he had created in his own image and likeness. He says, it was very good. Or literally, it was exceedingly good. And only then could Elohim rest. You see, not only is he the encouraging God, but he is the great and mighty creator, and he cares for you and for me. But who is Elohim? Look at John 1:3. In fact, you'll know this verse, don't you? John 1:3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. Who is this Elohim? None other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, in this lovely name Elohim, it's a uniplural. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 1:16, we read these words, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And so we see that our Elohim is the revealer of all that he has. You know, the old Negro spiritual is this. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the tiny baby in his hand. And he's got you and me, brother, in his hand, and I'm glad of that. What a wonderful place to be, in the hand of this one who is Elohim. Not only the encouraging name, not only the mighty creator, but Elohim is the covenant-keeping God. Now, the little word El in that name, Elohim, means mighty, strong, prominent. But the Elohim is the Hebrew form of the word Allah, A-L-A-H. And you'll notice in Allah is the letter H. You'll notice in Elohim, right in the middle, is the letter H. And I am told that it points to the true etymology of the name, because that letter H is there for a reason. It is the word to swear, to bind oneself, to make an agreement and keep it, to make a covenant. And so the prominent, mighty, strong God swears, and he swears by none other than himself. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 13. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 13. And what does the Spirit of God say to us there? Hebrews 6 and 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. You see, when Elohim made a promise, he couldn't find anyone else to swear for him that was greater than him, so he swore by himself. We go into a court of law, we rest our hand in a Bible, we raise our hand and say, we promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And our hands are on that book because we are swearing by one who is greater than you and me. But God is, there's no one greater than our Elohim, is there? When we think of Genesis chapter 12 and how that the Lord had called him out of Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and revealed himself to him. You remember he made some promises to Abraham that he would have a great nation, that in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And you and I are blessed tonight because of Abraham and the promises God gave to him. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 17 for a moment. Genesis chapter 17. And you know, as you look at these names and see them, you'll see the blessings that are found in just understanding something of the greatness of your God and how he is that God who cares for you and me. Genesis chapter 17, notice verse number 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord, that is Yahweh Jehovah, appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, or El Shaddai, we'll look at that later on, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Now notice this. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, it's Elohim who is talking, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations, or literally a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, a multitude of many nations, or of nations. For I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God Elohim to you and your descendants. Also I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. I will be their Elohim. Isn't that a great promise that he gave? And you'll notice something about this promise. It was an unconditional promise. The Lord didn't say, do this, do this, do this, and I'll make you a great nation. The Lord didn't say, do this, do this, and do this, and the other thing, and I'll give you this land. It was an unconditional promise that he gave. There were no conditions. God was going to do this in relation to the land, in relation to the promised seed, Israel, and ultimately the universal blessing of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at Israel in the land today. It's her land. She hasn't got it all yet. She's going to be getting more. And God is going to preserve that nation. My prayer is that this nation will remain loyal and strong and supportive of Israel. And I believe as we do that God will bless and prosper. But every single blessing that this world knows and that the church knows comes out of that great Abrahamic covenant, that blessing. You see, Elohim is the fountainhead, the foundation, the touchstone of every blessing that he gave to Abraham, and it's to you and me as well. Then can you rest upon your God? You better believe it. Do you think he keeps his promise? You got it. You know the great promise, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of his hand. We rest on that. I'm reminded of the old lady, you know, she marked in her Bible T&P. Someone was looking at her Bible, and in the margin this was this T&P, T&P. And someone said, what in the world is the T and the P? Oh, she said, that's the promise of God. She said, I tried it, and I proved it. And you know, when you try the promises of God, he proves his promise, doesn't he? Oh, it may not happen tomorrow, and it may not happen when we want it to happen, but in his divine purposes and his timetable, God will keep his promises that he gives to you and me. I can remember one time I was in Toronto. My family were in Halifax. I had flown for some children's meetings in Toronto. We were getting 225, 250 children out every night. We were having parents come out. In fact, I think there were two mothers that were saved at that time. And as I was at those meetings, I can remember one morning, I was in my room. I was very much upset. I was really concerned. And I had left my family, and I'll never forget it, as I was at the airport and kissing my wife and children goodbye. My little boy, who was about 10 or 11, Terry, just clung to me. And he was bawling. We had a little bit of a time at lunchtime. And the children were able to come home from school, and we always made certain that our kids could come home from school, that we could care for them during the lunch hour. And he was downstairs playing away, and I went down and I said, Terry, I said, you need to go to school. And he was an easy kid to bring up. Our two girls were much tougher. But Terry was very easy and willing to comply. But this day he said to me, Dad, I'm not going to school this afternoon, and you're not going to meet me. Ooh, that didn't sit very well with Pops. And so I had a little talk, and I was going to give him a real good spanking, and something just said, Jim, take it easy. I really believe it was the Lord. But I did give him a slight spanking, and I, you know, there were the tears, and we sat down, and we talked, and we prayed, and he went off to school. That night at the airport, when I was leaving, there was a little guy just clinging to my waist and bawling, and I was bawling, and I know what he was trying to tell me at lunchtime. And he didn't know how to express it. He said, Dad, I just don't want you to leave. And that's been the hardest thing as far as the Lord's work has been concerned, is the many, many times that I'm away, have been away from my wife and family, and I thank God for Heather and the way she's handled our kids and brought them up for the Lord. But it's been tough at times. And I can remember being in my room in Toronto, and I was bawling. I was on my knees, and I was just crying my heart out. I said, Lord, here I am taking care of everyone else's family except for my own, and they're my first responsibility. And I said, Lord, unless I have the assurance that my children will be saved and that they'll go on and live for the Lord, I'm packing it up, and I'm going home and taking out secular employment because this is too much. And I'll never forget, I opened my Bible that morning to Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be or will be, shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. And I claimed that day as a promise from God, that my wife would be that fruitful vine in the very heart of our house, that my children would be like olive plants flourishing all around our table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. He says, the Lord shall bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And then he gave me this little bonus in verse 6. Yes, may you see your children's children. And I've got 8 of them. And 5 of the 8 confess Christ as Lord and Savior. And 4 of those 8 have been baptized and are still following the Lord. There's still some in their early teens. But I have claimed that promise. So far we've tried it and we've proved it with our children. Now that is something that God gave to me. And it's something that God gives to you. And when we look at our God, we find He is the God who is the covenant keeping, the God who promises, the God who stands by His word. When you think of Jacob, how he messed up big time and he lied and his mother helped him in his duplicity and stole the birthright from his brother. And he, Jacob did everything that was wrong, but in the end of his life, he is restored. And Genesis chapter 28, I just want you to notice this, because, you know, we can see the time of restoration when God brings things back. And God will keep His promise and rest upon them, and don't be discouraged because nothing seems to be happening today. Rest and trust and pray and be faithful. What's required of a steward? That he be found faithful. And we are stewards and we need to be faithful. But notice Genesis chapter 28. And this is the vision that he has, the dream of the ladder going to heaven. Verse 10 says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, Jehovah Elohim of Abraham your father, and the Elohim of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. He is reiterating the promise that he gave to Abraham and Isaac. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And you'll notice again what he says here. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. They were going to be off the land for a year, for a while. And they were in dispersion, in captivity. But God has brought them back in 1948. And that's where they are tonight. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And God is still not finished. He made His promise. He's going to keep that promise. And we're going to see that promise fulfilled one day because we have a covenant-keeping Elohim. I'm glad I'm on His side, aren't you, tonight? Now notice again what happens in verse 20. After all of this, you'll notice that in verse 17 or verse 16 he says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord Jehovah is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of Elohim, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stones that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, Bethel means Elohi, at least house of God. So he uses in verse 17, none other than the house of God. He calls it Bethel, which means house of God. When you see the word Beth in the Hebrew, it is house. When you look at the word El, it means God. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if Elohim will be with me, and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord Jehovah shall be my Elohim. And you'll notice that wonderful expression. Jehovah shall be my strong and faithful one. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth. There's the third time he uses God's house in those few little verses. And it implies that we have a God who has the power and the right to enter into a covenant relationship with his people. Because our Elohim is omnipotent. He is the all-powerful, authoritative God. And he keeps his promise. Just one little thing as I close. Remember Noah? And God told him to build an ark. And then, you remember after the flood, at least the waters were dissipating in chapter 8. In verse 1 we read, then the Lord remembered Noah. He had made a promise to him. He remembered. I remember my father. He had Alzheimer's disease. And I can remember he would come and he'd say, you know, Jim, my old computer's not working too well. And he would point to his head. And you know, his old computer really failed him. I remember going into the apartment one day. And my mom said, Jim, there are some papers on the bed that he's pulled out. I'd like you to have a look and take anything that's valuable, insurance policies and so on, and keep them and put them in the safety deposit box. So I went in and he looked at my mother and he said, who in the world is that young man? What does he think he's doing just walking around this house as if he owns it? And she said, that's your son. That's Jamie. And he's always called Jamie. Oh, of course, he said. But you know, we have a God who doesn't forget who we are. And we have a covenant promise. At least a hurricane sweeps through the Caribbean and Florida and does destruction and flooding and buildings destroyed. But he has kept his promise from the days of Noah. And you look up and you see the rainbow. And that rainbow is a covenant promise that I'll never destroy the world again with a flood. Unconditional, a gracious Elohim. It is an everlasting covenant. And folks, I would encourage you to rest upon your God. And as the psalmist could say in Psalm 9 and 2, my God, my Elohim, in him will I trust. May the Lord just encourage our hearts. Let us just bow in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just give Thee our thanks again for our great and wonderful God. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as His power. That knows neither measure nor end. We pray for your blessing now upon thy word. We ask, Lord, to encourage our hearts this evening and minister to the needs of each one. We think of those who still may be on the road, going home or coming. Watch over your people today. For we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to just sing that hymn, if it's in this book, How Good is the God We Adore. The rear cover, back cover. We're going to stand and we're going to...